and Calicoon, a member of the Garnet Health System, garnethealth.org, and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Welcome to the Local Edition, news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Patricia Robayo. In the second half of the program, we'll be checking in with Sullivan 180 to talk about National Trails Day and also talk about May being Mental Health Awareness Month. And then we'll check in with Chris Rowley from the Chawanagunk Journal about Cresco Labs in Ellenville. They're applying for IDA tax benefits. But first, we'll be talking about hemp. A seminar will be hosted on Thursday, May 12th at 7 p.m. at the Cooper Project in Honesdale, followed by an all-day hands-on workshop on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Workshop attendees will learn to build hempcrete structure, including forming walls, the roof, mixing it, and details on finishing. See Sustainable Energy Education and Development Support and Nature's Grace. Health Foods and Deli have partnered to bring this workshop to the Cooper Project. And on the phone with us now, from Nature's Grace and Health Foods Deli, is James Duckard. James, welcome to the program. James? James, are you there? Hold on 1 second, we'll be right back.
Hey, all you music lovers out there, this is Thane Peterson, host of WJFF's Living Jazz Show. Every Friday from noon to 2, I bring you the very best of the current jazz scene with a little bit of classic jazz thrown into the mix. Please join me every Friday from noon to 2 for Living Jazz with Thane Peterson.
I'm Donna Fellenberg, host of Catskill Character, and this Saturday my guest will be Narrowsburg's own Jane Luxinger. Jane is a community heartbeat, helping to keep the pulse of Narrowsburg strong and thriving. Tune in Saturday at 11:30 to hear Jane talk about her life, her dreams, and more on Catskill Character, Saturday on Radio Catskill.
We're back on the Local Edition, and now we have James. James, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing? Great. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulties, but hey, that's live radio. James, this hempcrete workshop is coming up on Thursday. Some folks know about or think they know what hemp is. Let's just start this conversation with telling us what hemp is and what hemp isn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there's... Hemp is not marijuana, for one thing, and there's different kinds of hemp. A lot of people are probably familiar with hemp as a CBD product, you know, for things that a lot of people are using just for to take internally is for health aid. But the hemp that we're using is a different kind of hemp. It's an industrial hemp, and it's being called hempcrete. It's been around... It's kind of new in the United States, but it's been around for 20 or 30 years in Europe. And it's called hempcrete, but it's not really concrete. It's something quite different. I'm holding a chunk of hempcrete in my hand, and it's probably about the weight of a piece of styrofoam. It's very, very lightweight. It's made out of hemp, pieces of hemp and lime and water. And we feel like it's really kind of the ultimate solution for building needs for a sustainable future, just because hemp is not a manufactured product. It's a product that's grown, and it actually sequesters carbon in the growing process 2.5 acres of hemp can sequester up to 10 tons of carbon dioxide.
Wow.
So potentially hemp in building, as a building material, can help create a carbon negative building. So that's one of the really one of the many reasons why it's a wonderful sustainable product.
Right. Now you have a piece of hempcrete on holding it right now. What's the texture like? If you squeeze it, is it soft or is it?
No, it is hard.
It's hard.
It's
like
hard.
Concrete, right?
But it's non-toxic,
right,
which is something that's much different than something like styrofoam or fiberglass or some of those other things. There would be no off-gassing from it. And it has a texture of it's a little coarse, and it does hold a lot of air. Some of the properties of it that are fascinating is that it can replace traditional insulation in a house.
Okay.
So that it has an R value of 2.5 to 3 per inch, which is very good. But it goes something a step further from traditional insulation in that it actually has thermal mass. In other words, you could give that an R value, but it kind of goes beyond that. It's actually able to retain heat. So that you're creating an envelope around the house, and you can actually make a roof out of this so that there's a total envelope around the house that's retaining heat and insulating the house, and it's sealed in a way that's non-flammable. You can put blowtorch to hempcrete, and it will not ignite.
Right.
Like I said, it's non-toxic. It's all natural materials. It has great acoustic properties. Someone's wanting to, you know, have a music studio or something like that, it really creates a dead space for there's no echoes in the rooms.
Right.
It repels rodents and insects. It's mold resistant. It's like the perfect building material. That's all I can say.
Right. Now, you hear the word hempcrete, so you automatically, your mind goes, if you know much about this, you automatically think like it just replaces concrete, but it's not really. It's really sort of replacing a traditional insulation. And how is it applied exactly to the house?
Well, what you usually do is yeah, because you're right. You couldn't like make a concrete pad for the house from hempcrete, because it can't be in a situation where it's exposed to continual moisture, even though it is moisture resistant. But you can. What you do is you actually like what we're doing for this project that we're making, and we're kind of building this workshop around it. Is we have it's going to be a garage. And you frame out the space pretty much the same way as you would a regular house. But then what you do is you put forms around the frame, and we're going to have a 12-inch wall, and you basically pack in hempcrete around that frame so that you're basically creating the wall for that building. And then we're going to do the same thing for the roof.
Right.
So it'll be a total envelope, 12-inch envelope around the entire house.
Right. Now, you say, I think hemp has been around for ages, thousands and thousands of years, and it's. I know from my limited reading of it, I know it's been used in construction in other parts of the world. Why isn't hempcrete sort of has taken hold in America? I know you see it's fairly new. And also, are there any current projects now besides yours that's sort of using hempcrete right now actively?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. And an important point, because over in Europe, and interestingly, Ukraine has probably been doing it for 30 years.
Wow.
Europe, 20 or 30 years. The reason why we haven't seen it here is because hemp has been illegal in the United States. It's only been recently that they've legalized growing hemp. Right now, there's a limited market available because people are just now learning figuring out how to grow hemp and how ways to manufacture it, just because it's been so long since it's been legal.
Right. Now, like I said, now things that have like the recreational marijuana has been legalized and medical marijuana. So, like I said, that whole process has really opened doors to the hempcrete becoming maybe a viable thing in the future, especially when it's sustainable, like you said it is.
I would say so, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are a lot. I would refer people to, there's a, the person that's going to be helping oversee our project is Cameron McIntosh, and he is doing a lot of hempcrete buildings throughout the United States, but mainly in the New England area.
Right.
And there is actually a United States, it's USHBA, a U.S. Health Building Association. They have a website which basically maps out all the hemp projects that are being done around the United States.
Wow.
So it's just starting to explode, I'll have to tell you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, this workshop begins May 12th at 7 p.m. at the Cooperage Project in Honesdale, and also followed on by a 3-day, four-day, it looks like, according to the press release, of a hands-on workshop. So who should be attending this workshop, and how can they attend?
Well, anyone that's interested in doing sustainable building into the future, we have contractors that are going to be coming here, people that are interested in building their own house, or someone that has just an interest in maybe in the future of doing a building. So all those people would be someone who'd be interested.
Right. And how can they sign up for the workshop, and where can they go?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Seeds has a website where it'll direct you right to a place where you can register. So, and their website is seedsgroup.net.
Seedsgroup.net, right?
Right. Is that right? Seedsgroup.net or seedsgroup.org? I guess I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm sure you can find it. It'd be Honesdale Seeds Group.
Seeds Group. Okay. And this is the workshop begins May 12th. And I know you're talking about it, and this other person, are you also involved in the talks, or are you moderating any kind of talks or leading any kind of workshops?
Yeah, the Thursday night, May 12th, will be a PowerPoint presentation by Cameron McIntosh himself, and he's the one that has all the experience.
Right.
And I'm the one that has the garage. It'll be kind of a garage workshop, and I'm the one that's kind of created this whole workshop, and he will be overseeing it, the project.
Wow. It sounds really interesting. James, I said, I'm so glad you came onto the program. I would love to have you back on to talk more about this. And I said, sustainability, especially now, is such an important thing. And I said, it's such a new technology for us here in America. I look forward to seeing the future of hempcrete. So.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk to people.
Sure, definitely. James, thank you so much. Take care, and good luck on the workshop.
Great, thank you.
That was James from Nature's Grace, Health Foods and Deli. Nature's Grace and Health Foods and Deli is also an underwriter for Radio Catskill. Moving in right along here. May is National Trails Day. Sullivan 180 is a nonprofit organization that looks to help and improve the health and well-being of Sullivan County. Here on the Local Edition, we check in with Sullivan 180 every month to see what they are working on. And June 4th is National Trails Day, not May. And Sullivan 180 wants you to get involved. Also, this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. Samantha Mango, Communications Manager for Sullivan 180, is on the phone with us now to tell us some more about National Trails Day. Samantha, welcome back to the program. June 4th is National Trails Day. How can we get involved?
Yeah, Saturday, June 4th is National Trails Day. So we're going to celebrate all the trails within Sullivan County by coming together in the Parksville section of the O&W Rail Trail. And we're going to have a cleanup service project along that section. And then we're going to have a day of hiking so people can stay and hike in Parksville, or they can disperse to all the other trails throughout Sullivan County and just get outside and enjoy the beautiful trails.
Yeah, it's just one thing. It's made great things for Sullivan County, but the trails that Sullivan County have are beautiful. You know, you have the rail trails, you have the other trails. In the Parksville, is that a rail trail?
That's the Sullivan O&W Rail Trail, yes. I know both organizations are working really hard at big projects to connect all the trails together. And I think they're making tremendous efforts so far. And there's a lot of funding that's coming in to make this dream become an actuality.
Right. That'd be great to see when it's in use and active and going and everything.
Yeah.
Now, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It's very important here, especially the health rankings just came out recently, and mental health is one of the factors that affects the health rankings. So what does Sullivan 180 have to sort of help with Mental Health Awareness Month? Are there classes? Are there talks going on? What is exactly going on?
Yeah, we have a lot of trainings and workshops. So mental health is a big component of social determinants of health that we are looking at and addressing. And our colleague, Jenny Sanchez, who is our grant and mental health program manager, is really spearheading this effort with all of her skills and have put together several trainings and workshops that she's offering to Sullivan County residents for free. There's a couple of them. The first one that's offered through SUNY Sullivan, or if you have a group or community that you'd like to schedule this training with specifically, it's QPR. It's a suicide prevention training, and QPR stands for Question, Persuade, Refer. And it's a three-step evidence-based training that's available to anyone 16 and older. And Sullivan County has, I think, the highest suicide rate in the Hudson Valley. So it's very important that we get our residents trained to be aware and to help anyone that may be in need.
Right. And for more information on that, where can folks go?
To our website, sullivan180.org, and there's a drop down for trainings at the top.
And how often are those classes happening?
QPR through SUNY Sullivan, through their community learning series, is actually happening today. This is May 3rd, but it will be offered quarterly. And if you're interested in having this, if you have a civic group or a school organization, Jenny can bring this training to them directly.
That's good, good information. It said Mental Health Awareness Month is very important, especially the statistic that you just gave. Our region has the highest in suicide rates, which is really scary.
On top of QPR, we also offer youth mental health first aid training. And that's also an evidence-based training that is for anyone who has or works with youth. And it helps identify and understand to signs of mental illness or substance use disorders in youth. And that's for any adults. And it provides support to children 16 to 18 who may be in a mental health crisis. We also have intro to mental health and wellness trainings, one for parents and another for educators. And then finally, we have been working together with several partners on the Sullivan County Resilience Coalition, and this coalition brings the film Resilience, the Biology of Stress and the Science of Hope to groups or staff who want to screen the film, and then we provide a guided discussion to help deeper understand ACEs, which is Adverse Childhood Experience, and then we dive into the research of toxic stress and how we can work together to improve the mental health of our future generations.
I don't know if you could speak to this or if you have information now, but the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation health rankings came out. I just want to see, what are your thoughts about the results? We're once again 61 out of 62 in the state of New York. We had John Little on the show on Monday to talk about the health rankings and what Sullivan County is doing as a county. But I just want to see, since Sullivan 180 is really geared towards this, turning our health rankings 180 degrees. I just want to see, what are your thoughts on the health rankings that came out?
Yeah, we were hopeful that we could possibly move up in the rankings, but we do understand that this is a long-term effort, and that's sort of where Sullivan 180 came to fruition. Our logo is a turtle. A turtle is slow moving, and it's very methodical, and that's how we operate here. So we know this is not going to happen overnight. It takes a lot of partnerships, and it will take a lot of effort to make a long-term change. And with the help of the county and with the help of John Little, there's a lot of effort of partners coming together to build a structure to help us move in the right direction.
All right. So thank you so much, Samantha, for telling us about National Trails Day. It's happening June 4th at 9 a.m. at the Parksville section of the Sullivan O&W Rail Trail. And also letting us know about Mental Health Awareness Month and what opportunities out there to people to learn about mental health awareness and to see the signs and help their fellow Sullivan County residents or their loved ones. Samantha, thank you again so much for talking to us and letting us know about all the good things that Sullivan 180 is doing for the month of May.
Thank you so much for having me, Patricio. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Samantha, for that. It's Friday on the Local Edition, and every other Friday we check in with the Shawangunk Journal's one and only Chris Rowley to see what's going on in Ellenville and Ulster County. And recently, Cresco Labs, which will be producing medical cannabis, had an IDA pilot, payment in lieu of taxes pilot, and they're seeking tax benefits to help their multi-billion dollar warehouse and growing facility in Ellenville. Chris Rowley from the Shawangunk Journal is on the phone with us now to give us the latest on Cresco Labs and what it means for Ellenville. Chris, welcome back to the program. The Cresco Labs had this IDA program, pilot hearing recently. What can you tell us about what happened at the meeting?
It was interesting to see the Ulster County IDA have a meeting in Ellenville. And Jim Malcolm, the chair of that IDA, made a number of points about, you know, how Ellenville used to be, how it had been quite a while since there'd been that much activity. And the Cresco Labs application and projected plant, 380,000 square foot facility to grow and manufacture their products, mostly for the medicinal line that they sell, is a giant thing for Ellenville, and it puts back into use a concrete slab just north of the village that has sat there empty completely empty for the last 5 or 6 years, but for since 2004 when Schrade Knife, Imperial Schrade, closed down, it's been, crickets there. But now it's going to become a new manufacturing hub, and it's an interesting kind of manufacturing because they grow the product. Then they do various things with it to create creams and edibles and tinctures and whatever. And, it doesn't create really any pollution. There might be occasional odor escape, but I doubt that because they're very keen to prevent that. So anyway, Cresco showed up. The numbers on the payment in lieu of taxes or pilot are kind of interesting. They're looking for like a $28 million tax reduction over 15 years. And the point that people really need to remember with this sort of a pilot is, well, first of all, New York State has a problem. We have very high property taxes, and there's blame for driving businesses away. One way to try to prevent that is to offer businesses a pilot. And the pilots are usually front-loaded. That is, they get most of the tax relief at the beginning, and over the 15 years or whatever it is, the tax relief declines, which is the case with this one. And that helps them because Cresco are going to sink $209 million into the construction of this facility, getting it up and getting going, and they want to be up and running by 2024. And they're talking about 375 FTEs, or full-time employments. So there will be jobs all over the spectrum. There'll be some fairly low paid jobs, probably, you know, people, I don't know, doing basic kind of stuff. Then there'll be more better paid jobs, probably those people tending the crop and those doing various kinds of skilled production work. And then there'll be managerial jobs, distribution, and, you know, everything. So anyway, they talked all of this up. And the point I should get back to is that the $28 million will leave something in the range of $96 million in taxes will be raised off of that site if Cresco goes ahead and builds their facility and sets up their business. If they didn't do it, if nothing happened there, then there would be about just over $1 million raised in taxes in that 15-year period. So it's a question of $96 million or $1 million. Yeah, what do you want? And that's really what it comes to when we're dealing with a pilot and a large corporation. If they had to pay the full whack, it would be like $125 million to them and might be a deal breaker, and they'd go somewhere else. So that's where you're at with it. And for Ellenville, this is a real chance to see manufacturing return, good jobs, and money flowing into the town. So it was interesting. People spoke, mostly all the local people who spoke were in favor. The opponents, the people who didn't like the concept, came from elsewhere. Was one from Saugerties who spoke against it. But they tended to see, it sounded to me like they were fighting a battle against cannabis per se, as opposed to this particular project. And I think that particular horse has left the barn, boat has left the dock, train has left the station, plane has taken off, you know, I mean, that's over. But they're still fighting. So anyway, it was an interesting meeting. It was also, one thing that was interesting was Tim Weideman, the director of economic development for Ulster County. He said, and you don't hear this often, and he made the point that you don't hear it often too, that working with Cresco was a pleasure. That Cresco were extremely professional, extremely together, organized, and knew what they were doing. And he made this point early on with their plan for that site. They wanted to set their structure up at the northern end, close to where ShopRite supermarket is. But unfortunately, that area is full of wetlands. And when it was discovered that it was going to be like that, they couldn't go forward with that particular plan, because about 10% of their building would have been on protected wetlands, and the DEC would have, you know, never allowed it. So Weideman said, so instead of, you know, running away screaming in horror, they turned around. They redid their plans. They completely shifted the whole thing back south, and he really commended them for that, because it showed a kind of courage in the design and the desire to get it done. So that was an interesting comment. You don't hear that often from guys like Tim Weideman. So there was that, and now we see May the 18th is probably. Decision will be released. We look forward to that meeting, we'll see how that goes. I expect that they'll get that. And then construction can begin. 75 FTEs, as a new concept, full-time employments, will be getting hired. So that's what we're looking forward to there with that one.
Yeah, there was a fire at the Ukrainian-American Youth Association on Route 209. What can you tell us about? I've been seeing pictures from that online. What's going on there now?
Oh, it's really sad. Okay, so the fire was at the very early in April. I think it was April 1st. It completely burned down the camp's kitchen building. And also badly damaged the building next to it, and damaged it. So, and unfortunately, the primary building was not insured. So the Ukrainian American Youth Association are looking at a complete disaster. I don't understand why it wasn't insured. Maybe it was too expensive or too difficult. Also, of course, it was primarily summer use, so maybe that was part of it. But whatever it was, they now need to raise a lot of money to take away the ruins, get rid of everything, and then rebuild. And while that happens, of course, right now for them, they're in a crisis, unimaginable kind of crisis, with the situation in Ukraine. And it's kind of hard to fundraise for a camp here in Wawarsing when, you know, everyone's relatives and families and so on are back in Kharkiv or Mariupol or wherever, you know, or Kiev are in such terrible trouble. So that's where they're at, and they need donations. And if anybody is listening and they have the capacity to be able to do that, they should call the Ukrainian American Youth Association, or CYM, And we'll see if they can help, because it's a serious issue there right now. I know that they're just not quite sure what they can do.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. Like, especially you're saying that, you know, they didn't have insurance. You know, that's disheartening to believe. I mean, you know, nowadays mostly everyone does have insurance, but I'm curious why that wasn't happening here.
I think maybe because it's a summer camp. And maybe because it's a legacy